today's reading is from Exodus. It's a little bit from chapter 13 and then a lot from chapter 14. Now, it might well be a story that you know, so I'm asking you to use your imagination and picture yourself as one of the characters in the story. Maybe a fish in the Red Sea, hits a wall, or Moses or Pharaoh or whoever you want to be, depends on how you like to be. So, Exodus chapter 13. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Zaphon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I'll harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water to their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw them into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Oh, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them away in the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you know what, when I had a look at who was down to read that, I thought, I'm really looking forward to seeing Yo's reading of that. And you did not disappoint. It's a dramatic story and it requires a dramatic reader. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the great things it teaches us about who you are and who we are as your people. As we explore it together now, will you open our hearts to the promptings that you want to bring to each of us today? And may everything I say bring glory to your name. Amen. I've got a question for you this morning. Hands up if you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up, when you were younger. There we go. Now, keep your hand up if that's what you actually ended up doing. Oh, we've got a few. You can put your hands down now. I'm impressed. I wanted to be a vet. I kept the same first letter, but that was about it. My lack of knowledge in science wasn't really going to get me very far on that one. But things don't always pan out the way that we expect them to, do they? Or the way that we plan or hope for them to go. Even those of you who did end up doing the career that you had hoped when you were a child, I'm sure will have other things in your lives that weren't quite how you predicted or expected them to be. And this passage that we've just heard read from the Bible must be one of the most well-known stories from the Old Testament. And you can kind of see why when you hear it. It's a storyteller's dream. You've got the heroic Moses leading the people forward. You've got the villain in Pharaoh hot on their heels pursuing them. You've got that tense moment where they reach a hurdle and a very big one at that. What are they going to do? And the dramatic crescendo as the seas are parted and they walk through. They make it to the other side and they all lived happily ever after. It is a great story, except it didn't quite happen as rapidly as that or as rapidly as we've just heard read to us. And I think that there are some moments in this story that when we speed through them, we miss the beauty of and what we can learn in those moments. So today, I'm going to concentrate on just one of the moments in this narrative that we've heard today. And it's that moment where the Israelites, God's people, have reached the edge of the Red Sea. There seems no way forward, and what they do in that moment. This is their moment where things certainly aren't going as they had expected or hoped for. They'd been enslaved for over 400 years. That means that most of them there, they had no knowledge of any freedom. They had cried out to God in their pain, and he had heard them. And he'd sent the plagues, another good story in the Old Testament, which led to their eventual freedom from Pharaoh's rule. And having left Egypt, they are now walking to their freedom, united as God's people. This should be their happy ending. This is meant to be where the good life begins. But instead, what we find and what we're going to continue to find in this series is that there are years in the wilderness. Times of trial, times of uncertainty, times when they get it wrong, when they get it right, times when it's really tough. And we're going to be journeying alongside God's people as we go through some of this series, learning the lessons in the wilderness. But on to today's. We hear at the end of chapter 13 that God is leading his people. He has sent a pillar of cloud to lead them by day and a pillar of fire to lead them by night. And he leads them to the camp where they are today, which we've heard about today, next to the Red Sea. That place where it seemingly goes wrong. Pharaoh has changed his mind and he's rallied his chariots. Did you hear that? 600 of his best chariots and all the other chariots in Egypt too. I don't know if you can wrap your head around picturing what 600 and many other chariots must look like. Quite the army. And he's coming for the Israelites. And the Israelites look up and they see this. They see this army in chariots and they are there mostly on foot. What are they going to do? And they turn and their only way out is a sea. An impossible situation with seemingly no way out. It's really quite desperate and bleak. Understandably, the Israelites are terrified. And they respond by asking Moses a series of questions. And when we find ourselves in desperate situations where there seems no way out, I think we do exactly the same. I think it's very human to ask questions in those kind of times. We can start to question God, we can start to question each other, and we can start to question ourselves. And so we're going to explore this passage now by looking at three questions that I think the Israelites clearly had during this time. And indeed, we often have too, when faced with unexpected and hopeless situations. The first is a question to God. Why did you bring us here? The second is a question to each other. Who are we going to blame? And the third is a question of ourselves. How can I get through this? So let's start with the first one. We've heard that God led them to this place that they find themselves in. It wasn't due to their own mistakes or wrongdoing. They didn't take a wrong turn on the way. They were literally following God's leading. And yet it led them here to this impossible situation. So God, why? Why did you bring us here? I think so often we know up here that grace is a gift from God, that we don't earn God's favor, and that his love isn't based on what we do. But I think when times are tough, we can actually find ourselves slipping into responding as if it is. We think that if we follow God's leading and are obedient to him, then surely he's going to lead us to things that are good and nice and easy. Definitely not to a place where we're stuck in between an advancing Egyptian army and a sea on the other side. Perhaps you can recall a time in your life that's felt exactly like that Red Sea moment. We use that phrase, don't we? Stuck in between a rock and a hard place. Feeling like there's no way out. Perhaps for some of us here, you're in one of those situations right now. Stuck in the middle of a tough situation or feeling like you've reached a dead end. And in that place, we can find ourselves asking God, God, why did you bring us here? And we don't always find answers to those questions. Sometimes in time we do, and we can look back and see why God did a certain thing. But sometimes we don't get an answer at all. So instead of answers, instead I think we're invited to reframe the question. Instead of why did God bring us here? What if we asked, how did you bring us here? The passage leading up to this one includes the instructions on the celebration of the Passover. Every year since then, God's people have taken part in the Passover festival, and Jews around the world still celebrate it today. At the Passover, the story of how God brought his people out of Egypt, rescued them from the bonds of slavery, is told. They remember what God has done for them. And in times of trial, it is especially important that we stop and recall all that our God has done. Christmas is one of the times where we do just that, and we've been doing that in the past month. So is Easter. Indeed, so is throughout the year. Remembering all that our God has saved us from. But not only in those big salvation stories, but in our own personal faith journeys as well. How did God bring you here? How did God bring you to that place that is your version of the Red Sea moment? Where can you see his hand upon your journey? Where has he provided in the past? Where has he shown his goodness in your life? When did you sense his leading that led you to the place that you are in? We're told by the Israelites that they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Clouds and fire are hugely significant as they are symbols of God's presence that we find throughout Scripture, especially in Exodus. Think of the burning bush, the clouds at the provision of manna, the Mount Sinai encounters and the tabernacle, all things that we will be exploring in the weeks to come. Perhaps Moses saw the fire and was immediately brought back to that burning bush moment, that place of God's leading, that place where, however reluctantly, he followed God's call that was the beginnings of what led him to this Red Sea moment. We often sing songs, we've done it even today, and pray prayers where we say, I surrender all to you, God. Here I am, send me. Let my life be a living sacrifice. those aren't statements that have limits on them. Because if they do, then they're not authentic. When we are led to places of trial and confusion, I think we need to also be reminded that full surrender to God includes the difficult bits as well. So instead of asking why, we stop to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness and leading so far. And in doing so, it strengthens and encourages us for the struggle. We're told in verse 22 of chapter 13 that the pillars never leave them. God's presence never leaves them, and it never leaves us. The second question we can find ourselves asking, and the Israelites certainly did, is who do we blame? It's the each other question. The Israelites decide this is Moses' fault. We read in verse 11, they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Ouch. There's a complaint email that somebody definitely didn't sleep on before pressing send. They're fearful and they're hurting, and they need someone to direct that to, so they do so to Moses. They're throwing all kinds of accusations at him, including asking, why can't we go back to the way it was before? Suddenly, even slavery becomes the glory days that they want to go back to. And when we're fearful and we're hurting, we all too often can end up directing that at those around us too. So what is Moses' response? He could have bit back. He could have said, oh, away with you, I'm done with it. He might have been tempted to, but that's not what we read. He instead redirects them in verse 13. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have to only keep still. There's another invitation there to reframe the question. Not who do we blame, but who do we belong to? These are God's people, and God will deliver them and he will fight for them. If they had truly grasped that and understood all that that means in that moment, then they needn't have feared. The God who created the heavens and the earth was fighting for them. They are his. I wonder, do you know that you are his today? How differently do the circumstances that we face appear when we do so secure in the knowledge that the same God who parted the Red Sea is fighting our battles for us today? Because we are his. We all have to face battles in life. And there is a spiritual battle raging that sometimes we are more aware of than others. And in those seasons, will we stand firm in the face of the approaching army and say, do you know who I belong to? The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. The final question is the question we often ask of ourselves. How do I get through this? It must have been terrifying seeing the Egyptian army approaching, knowing that there was absolutely no way out. Many of them would have given in that this is the end. It's certain death. In overwhelming circumstances, we can wonder how we will ever get through it. And here's where we hear God's voice in the passage in verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. I'm often struck by the many questions that we read that God asks in Scripture, because there's always something more to them. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious why Moses is crying out to God. There's a slightly increasing situation going on here, Lord, which of course God knows. But in asking that question, God has reminded Moses that he needs to trust him. Why are you crying out to me? Did you think I was just going to leave you here? No, this is part of my plan. I've already made the way, You just can't see it yet. Trust me and do as I say. So instead of how can I get through this, we need to ask, how do I trust through this? Up until now in the story, the pillars of cloud and fire have gone ahead of them. They just had to step forward and follow. It was literally like someone, you see those children on a school trip following the teacher with a flag. You just got to follow where the pillars are leading. But as we heard in our reading today, suddenly the pillars move behind them in order to separate them and provide protection between the Egyptian army and the Israelites as well. And we also hear that God instructs Moses to tell the Israelites to move on before he instructs him to raise his staff and part the sea. Well, hang on, we've not got the pillars to follow anymore. We've got to step forward on our own. And go forward when there's currently no way to go. There's a lot of trust in that moment. Even when we don't understand what God is doing, we know that he is good and that he will lead us through. We can keep taking those steps of faith and following his direction. I wonder how many of the Israelites hesitated. I wonder, even once the sea had parted, how many were hesitant to take that step. I mean, what's happening before them is weird. It's not like, oh, right, of course, there's a path through the sea. That's normal. What if the waters don't hold? What if the Egyptians catch up to us? What if we can't make it? This isn't like me walking from here to the sound desk. This is a journey that took them all night, hours, walking this long path through the Red Sea. Can we do it? Should we do it? What if? They had to, in that moment, trust in God. And sure enough, God made a way to bring them to safety. If God brings you to it, then he will. That day, Moses and all of God's people with them witnessed God's power and provision and learnt what it really meant to trust and obey. And I bet that this experience had a pretty big impact on their faith. How could it not? The same people who had longed to be taken back to slavery. But isn't that just completely and utterly human? In those moments where there seems to be no way, we can say, this is hard. I don't like this. Take me back to then. Or take me to the forward, to the bit where it's all better. Or put me on a different path altogether. I wish I was anywhere but here. We can be so focused on the path that we wish we were on. Or at the joyous moment where we reach safety on the other side of the sea, that we miss what God is doing on the path that he has chosen. What may God be teaching us? How may God be shaping us in the middle of the storm? In those Red Sea moments of our lives where we can't see the way out, I invite us to return to those reframed questions. How did God bring us here? With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We remember and tell one another of all the things he has done that brought us here, of his faithfulness and his goodness. Who do we belong to? The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. We remember whose we are. How can I trust you through this? Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. We have a choice to trust in him. This event is one that scripture returns to time and time again as a reminder of God's power and of God's provision. And so I'm going to end with one of those passages now. It's Psalm 136. Because rather than trying to rush ahead to the point where the other side of the sea, we'll get there, that's next week's sermon. What do we do when we're still waiting for the way? What do we do in the hopeless situation? What questions are we asking? And what will be our posture in that place? Is it desperation and moaning and looking for where we can place blame, where we can question God? Or is it actually to declare who our God is? This psalm is one of those that has a repeated line throughout it. Interwoven between all of the recalling of God's deeds is the line, his love endures forever. So I'm going to read this through and I'm going to invite you to join in with that line, his love endures forever. And the band are going to come up because this is going to lead us into our time of worship. May this be our declaration today over our lives, over our church, over our Red Sea moments. in all times and in all places, we will choose to praise him. I invite you to stand if you are able. Let's make this declaration, his love endures forever, together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And brought Israel out from among them. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness. Give thanks to the God of heaven.